Good Friday. What's good about it? If you would, if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Luke 9:22, and you can keep that open while I examine some of the meanings of this, the importance of it. Why, in fact, was the sacrifice of Christ necessary? Why was it necessary? Luke 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. All of this had to happen. It was necessary that it happen. There was nothing that happened on that day or on that weekend that wasn't absolutely necessary to our salvation. Now, today is called Good Friday. Set aside on our Christian calendar, so we'll gather to remember the death of Jesus Christ. But what do we remember, actually? This isn't a funeral where we recall and celebrate someone's life. We'll do that on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And it's not really a memorial where we recall our fondest memories of someone we personally knew because, frankly, we weren't alive when Jesus lived on earth. And it's not a lament where we mourn the loss of a loved friend or a family member because we haven't lost Christ. We've gained him. Instead, we've gathered to celebrate Jesus' death on the cross. Now, that sounds strange, doesn't it? We've gathered to celebrate his death on the cross, as if we're glad he died such a cruel and bloody death. And that's really not what's going on at all. We're not glad about that. We're glad that he was willing to die on the cross. He died on the cross to give us life. That's what we're glad about. We mourn the fact that Jesus had to die, that it was necessary for him to be rejected and to die. The Son of Man must suffer many things. It was necessary because only the infinite God and the infinite God-man could pay the infinite debt that was due to God for our sins. Only he could do that. There was no one else that could do that. We cannot do that. And therefore, we need Christ to do that for us. And he did that for us on the cross. He accomplished all that. He paid that debt in full. And we'll hear more about that on Sunday. So we celebrate the fact that our debts are paid for. We celebrate his victory on that cross. He was not a victim. He was a victor. His death obtained our freedom from the bondage of sin. It freed us from the penalty of sin that would have been required of us at our death. So we've been freed from our fear of death and of hell. Death now has no hold on us. Sin no longer has any hold on us. We've been freed of that and freed of our fear of the consequences of that. Now, the only thing required of us in order to obtain this freedom is faith in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us, what he alone could do for us. Acts 4:12 says there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's one of those musts again. It's not maybe, it's not, it's a possibility. It's not, right? There's this certainty to it. There's this promise of Scripture that is rock solid. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. His name is how we must be saved, and no other name. And we're not only freed from sin and death, but we gain fellowship with him and with our Heavenly Father. Even while we live, we have that fellowship. We have that here tonight. We've gathered in fellowship together with Christ and together with the Lord our God by his Spirit. We're fellowshipping with him tonight. We also gain eternal life from him afterward. The sin that separated us from God has been washed away, as we just sang about, so we can draw near to him, a holy people, saints. Our righteousness is found in Christ. It's imputed to us. And in Christ we are perfectly holy, perfectly acceptable to God. We've been reconciled to God and restored to a right relationship with him, and we're now fully acceptable to him. That's what we remember today. That's why we've gathered here this evening. Again, what we mourn is that Jesus' death was the only way that these things could be obtained. And so that verse, the Son of Man must suffer many things. We also celebrate God's love for us, don't we? I mean, why did he go to the cross if not out of love? We celebrate God's love for us. It says in John 3:16, we all know this one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, not the possibility. Christ did not make us salvable on the cross. He saved us, finally and completely. So maybe what we find most troubling about Good Friday is the brutality that Jesus endured at the hands of men on our behalf, in our place. He died on that cross so that we might live. Jesus died on that cross so that we might live. He endured what we would have endured if he hadn't drunk the cup of God's wrath. The Son of Man must suffer many things. Now, in love, he laid down his own life to redeem us, right? He says, this is love. One friend should lay down his life for another, and he calls us friends. But worse, he endured the pain. He endured the pain of being separated. He endured physical pain at the hands of men, but worse, he endured the pain of being separated from his Father for the first time in eternity. And so he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting from Psalm 22, sin separates us from God. For those of us who are believers, it does not separate us finally, but it will distance us from God. That's why we come to the Lord's table, to be washed, to be cleansed, to confess, to repent, and to be relieved of that debt and of that burden. Sin cannot keep us from that table. Sin is what draws us to that table. So because sin separates us from God, when Jesus bore our sins upon that cross, he was separated from the Father. No wonder the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom. No wonder creation cried out at the death of its creator. No wonder the sun was darkened and the earth shook and the graves gave up their dead. The Son of Man must suffer many things. Now we've gathered to remember what our sins cost Jesus, but also to remember what his death has purchased for us. And so as we just sang, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. We'll never know because we'll never experience sin's penalty. That's one of the joys of being a follower of Jesus Christ. We'll never experience that penalty. We'll never know how much it cost. We partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Jesus who died for us, whose body was broken for us, whose blood was spilled for us to cleanse us so that we might be heirs of the kingdom and beneficiaries of that new covenant in his blood, which we preach about every Sunday morning. Christianity is sometimes called a bloody religion. Yeah, it is. It's because of Jesus' sacrifice. That's why they think it's a bloody religion. Why was blood necessary? Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It does not get washed away. It takes blood to wash that sin away. Why not? God tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's Leviticus 17:11. Therefore, if a life is taken, and our sin has cost us a life, if a life is taken, a life must be given in exchange. Life for life and blood for blood. You he made alive, it says in Ephesians. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Life for life, blood for blood, he purchased us. Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you ain't got no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Has it. It's your possession. It's in your hands. I will raise him up at the last day. So how do we eat and drink Christ? By exercising our faith in him. By relying exclusively on what he has done. In order to save us. Everything he did was in order to save us. By taking up our cross daily and following him. That's another way that we eat his flesh and drink his blood. Taking up our cross daily and following him. And by trusting him in every circumstance of our life. There's the hard one, isn't it? Trusting him in every circumstance of our life. For whatever has been, whatever is, and whatever is going to happen. Whatever lies ahead for us. We trust in him for all of that. We release all of that into his care, into his hands. And we let go of it. cast your burdens on him. That's what it means. Yes, Christianity is a bloody religion, but not because Jesus died a bloody death on the cross. It's because he shed his blood to give us life. His lifeblood has become our lifeblood. His lifeblood has become our lifeblood. We live in him and he lives in us. That's that verse from Galatians 2:20 I keep telling you to memorize. Good Friday is good for all these reasons. But it became good only when he walked out of that tomb and ascended to sit at the right hand of God the Father forever. Forever. He rose to become our priest and our king and our redeemer and the only mediator between God and man. The only one. The only one. The Son of Man must die. Must endure all these things. In him we have redemption through his blood. This is Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Good Friday finds its fulfillment on Resurrection Sunday. It points to it. Today points to Sunday. So that we're moved from our remembrance of Christ's death to the reality of his resurrection. That's what's going to happen between now and then. That resurrection is proof of his triumph over death and of the Father's forgiveness of our sins. Every promise is fulfilled in Christ. Every issue is yes in Christ. Being here on Friday and looking forward to Sunday, I'd like to close with a meditation from the late Reverend S.M. Lockridge. He was a fiery Baptist preacher. I'm not going to be so fiery, but I'm going to read you something that he did as a meditation. You may have heard this before. It's been well quoted over the years. Even so, it's a wonderful reminder. He says, it's Friday. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter's denying. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking into Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. His spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. It seems like the world's winning. People are sinning. Evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. Then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. The Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. They don't know that. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his father, left alone and dying. Can anybody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death is won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. The soldier stands guard. And the rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday is coming. Now, for the joy set before him, Scripture tells us Jesus endured the cross. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Now, I know some in here are bearing a cross right now. Maybe God has asked you to bear a cross. Maybe it's one that's just too heavy for you to carry on your own. Feels like Friday to you, doesn't it? Feels like Friday, and Sunday sure seems a long way off. I know how it is for some of you. I encourage you to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to him in this moment of the struggle that you may be under. May the rest of us be willing to help you carry the load. Please don't say no. Don't say no when you're asked. Don't be afraid to ask yourself, I need help bearing this cross. It seems too heavy for me. Even my Lord had Simon of Cyrene to help him carry his cross for him. We can do that for one another. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this good Friday. We thank you that our Savior was willing to lay down his life out of love for us, that he considered it pure joy to lay down his life for us and to take it up again, that we should live because he lives. Oh, Lord God, this is a glorious day, a day of remembrance and a day of joy and a day of thanksgiving. Yes, it was a costly death. Yes, it was costly because of us and because of our sin. And yet you loved us so much you would not let us remain in our sin. But you sent a Savior. You sent a Redeemer to atone for our sins, that we might be with you for eternity, that we might be the objects of your love forever. It's out of love that you sent him. It's out of love that you keep us. It's out of love that you called us to eternity. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.